Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 7. Today we're going to be reading verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. Those of you who like country music may have heard Charlie Daniels' song that's titled, Somebody Was Praying For Me. If you're familiar with that, you know how the lyrics go. There's a refrain after each one of these verses. I'm not going to say the refrain, but the refrain is, somebody somewhere was praying for me. But the lyrics start out this way. Well, the path to destruction's like an interstate highway. And like so many people, I took it for my way. Well, it's wide and it's smooth and it's easy to travel. And then all of a sudden, my life came unraveled. It's a song based on this passage, obviously, this passage of Scripture. I love the illustration of the wide way being an interstate highway. Just imagine six or eight lanes all going in the same direction and all the people traveling at high speed on that highway. It's the easy way that Jesus speaks of here. There are two ways that are presented to us. There's the broad, wide gate and the narrow gate. There's the broad, wide way and the narrow, hard way. And there are two different destinations. And so as we talk about the easy way, let's think about that. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, Jesus says in verse 13. This gate is a term that's used for practically anything. It can be the door to a building, a door to a house. It can be a large entryway into a palace. It can be a large gate through a wall into a walled city. It's just a general term for this opening. And the entryway that Jesus warns us against is the wide gate. It's an opening that's so broad that many can travel side by side through that gate. You don't have to worry about it. You can have a whole crowd. Just imagine a stadium where people are being let in for a football game, or imagine a concert hall and the doors are thrown wide open and a whole crowd presses through that entrance, and it's a wide entrance. This is the picture that's given here. It's a broad, wide way that leads to, in the illustration Charlie Daniels uses, an interstate highway. Lots of lanes going in the right in the same direction. The way is a path. It's a road. It can be a road in a city. It can be a road between two cities. And here the gate opens and there's this huge, wide interstate highway leading to some place. And it's well-paved, it's smooth, it's easy to travel. There's no difficulty. Once you get on that highway, you travel at high speed in the direction. But the end is what's important. The end is destruction. The destination for this broad gate and this wide way is simply destruction. That's the destination. That's the only destination that it leads to. And when Jesus talks about destruction here, he's not talking about simply physical death. Yes, that's involved quite often. But he's talking about eternal ruin in hell. That's what he means when he uses the term destruction. This is a spiritual place. And it shouldn't surprise us. The book of Proverbs, as we studied it, tells us the same thing in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is death. We know that. We know that the way that men choose, the way that men think they ought to go, is the wrong way. and it ends only in destruction. And when we looked at that passage in Proverbs, we saw that it was not just simply physical death, but eternal death that was in view. It's not just dying and going to the grave, but going to eternal death in hell forever. There's a vivid illustration earlier in Proverbs where the godly father is warning his son of the broad way that leads to the harlot's house. In chapter 7, he says, he tells his son to begin with, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words." And so he already warns him. Then he tells him, further down in the chapter, "I've seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house." This is the wide path that leads to destruction. And what's the end result? At the end of the chapter, the godly father draws it all together and he says, Now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death." So this wide way that seems to lead to what you want, that seems to lead to pleasure, that seems to lead to all sorts of things that men desire, the end result is the chambers of death. It's hell. It's the grave. It's punishment forever. Notice what Jesus says about those who follow it. The gate is wide, the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. A great crowd. Many is a term that just expresses a crowd, a throng, a whole group of people. He's saying that this entryway that leads to this broad, smooth highway is so easy that multitudes of people can find it and can walk on it. And they do. But they do so to their eternal ruin. That's illustration that Jesus uses is of all the false ways, really. This one broad way is representative of any kind of false way that you can find. Any way of salvation that's proposed by men throughout all of history. These are ways that sinful men can find easily, and they can enter easily, and they can follow easily. Because each one of these false ways involves essentially man's own efforts, man's own good works in seeking to come to gods of men's imaginations. Any god's acceptable in this broad way. It doesn't matter. Allah, Krishna, Buddha, Odin, Zeus, Baal, whatever god. Doesn't matter. Just fill in the blank. Any false god. The gate is so broad that any god will do to enter. And anything that the sinful heart of man can imagine or want to do is allowed along that broad way. Now, yes, there are some false religions, false ways within this, like Islam, that have very rigid rules. But notice what happens is you are saved by keeping those rules. You're not saved by Christ. And there are other parts of this broad way that have no rules whatsoever. You're saved no matter what you do. It doesn't really matter. You're just like in religious liberalism, it doesn't matter how you live. You're saved anyway. This is the gate of self-indulgence. You can live however you want to. Doesn't matter. You're still on that path. It's just the end of the path that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to recognize. Now, there's one thing that's outlawed on the broad way. Let's recall this. There's only one thing outlawed on that broad way, and that's Jesus and the followers of Jesus Christ. Anything else is acceptable, but not Christ. So all of these false ways are this one great broad way, and they have this one common destination, and that's hell. They end in destruction. The path is easy to follow, easy to walk. But the place you're going is not the place anyone should ever want to go. As Jesus warned in Matthew 18, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. That's the easy way. And then Jesus speaks of the narrow way, the hard way, the path of life. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. There's this other gate, this other gateway, this other entry. And it's not wide, it's not broad like the one that Jesus warns us about. Instead, it is narrow. You squeeze through this gate with difficulty. It's not as easy to enter as the broad way is. And only one person can go through at a time. You may have to turn sideways to do so. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his commentary on this, calls it a turnstile. You know what turnstiles are like. Only one person can go through at a time. And sometimes you have to turn sideways to be able to go through that turnstile. That's what he's talking about here. In order to enter the narrow gate, you have to strip off many things like this desire for consuming earthly goods, any kind of unforgiveness, any kind of selfishness, any kind of self-righteousness. Those things won't go through this gate. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you know that Pilgrim eventually comes to the foot of the cross. He's got this huge pack on his back. This burden is weighing him down. And when he comes to the foot of the cross, and it's the way that he enters into life, he leaves the pack there at the foot of the cross. All of his burdens, all of his sins, all of these things that weigh him down, he leaves them there in order to be able to go on. And that's the way you enter this gate. The way is not easy. It's described as hard. And the word itself means constricted or confining. It's a word that has to do with difficulty and trouble and persecution and suffering hardship. Or as Paul told the Corinthian Christians, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That's the Christian life. That's what happens to us. And so the point that Jesus is making is this way, this narrow gate, this narrow way is difficult to find, it's difficult to enter, and it's difficult to follow. Imagine you're hiking in the mountains. Some of you may not have ever seen mountains, but there are mountains, and they're fun to hike in. But sometimes you may come, and just imagine that as you go up the mountain, you're following this path, and there's a cliff face on your left and a cliff face on your right, and as you go up the path, they get closer and closer together until there is this very narrow opening. And the path continues up, and you know the destination that the path goes. But in order to get through that very narrow opening, you have to leave your pack behind. You have to possibly take off your coat. And as you squeeze through sideways, the buttons on your shirt pop off. And you scoot sideways through this narrow crevice. But on the other side is the most incredible vista you've ever seen. That's Jesus' picture. Or let's use the road as an illustration. We talked about the broad highway that has many lanes that people can follow. Instead, you come to this little turnoff, and there's a gate that you have to open, and you can just barely get your car through, and it's a dirt road, and it's rutted. And you can't travel along it very fast, and there are boulders in the middle of it that you have to navigate around, and there are ruts that you can get stuck in, and you have to push your car out of. And they're big switchbacks, and that's the road that you must follow. Not the broad, wide way, but the hard way. The end of that path is what Jesus says is most enjoyable. It is life. It's eternal life. It's not just, Jesus is not just saying, following this path will be good for you. In this life, following this path is the good way to go. It'll help you right now. Yes, it will. But sometimes there's persecution along with that. But that the destination is heaven. It's eternal life there. And that's where you're going. as you follow this narrow way. Look at who follows it. For the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The question is often asked, will there be many who will be saved? And there's a twofold answer to this. The Bible says that there will be a vast number of saved men and women surrounding the throne of God that no man can count. Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So there is this marvelous picture of this vast throng of saved people in heaven. But the other part of the answer is, it seems like, as Jesus mentions, in every generation, in comparison to those who follow the broad path, those who follow the narrow path are few. So don't be surprised, Christians, when we see the vast majority of our friends and neighbors going the wrong way, just very happily traveling the wrong road. They have found the entrance to the broad path, and they're heading down it at 65 miles an hour. And for you to say to them, but wait, there's another path over here that's muddy and full of rocks and dirt and twists and turns, and this is the way to go. And they look at you like, what kind of idiot are you? In every generation, it seems that there are few in number. But, and let's not forget, the Bible tells us the elect will be saved. For many are called, Jesus says, but few are chosen. The Bible teaches what is known as remnant theology. In Romans chapter 9, Paul says, and Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. And in chapter 11, he says, so too at the present time, there's a remnant chosen by grace. The point of what Jesus says is there's only one right way. We've got a broad way, we've got a narrow way. There's only one right way, and that's the narrow gate. The beginning of verse 13 is, enter by the narrow gate. That's the point of what he says. Enter by the narrow gate. It's the only right gate. Choosing the right gate is absolutely important. I read about a man who was going to Oakland, California, got on a plane for Auckland, New Zealand, because he got on at the wrong gate. That's kind of surprising. Instead of hearing people go, dude, when he gets off, he hears people say, good day. How unusual. Choosing the right gate's important. And so what is said here by the Lord Jesus Christ is that there's only one way of salvation, and that is that that way of salvation is through faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ alone. That's the whole point of this. The way to eternal life is narrow in that it is in Christ alone. No one else. Christ alone. As Peter said in Acts 4, there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus' name is the powerful name. Jesus' name is the exclusive name. Jesus' name is the only name that brings eternal salvation to all who call upon Him. And Peter emphasizes that in Acts 4 by saying it's the only name under heaven, meaning it's the only name you can find throughout the whole earth that brings salvation. And he says there's no other name among men, meaning that throughout all of human society, wherever you happen to go, no matter who you happen to talk to, it's only Christ that saves. It's only Christ that saves. Salvation comes through faith in Christ alone. And Jesus himself said the same thing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus' own words. And in John chapter 10, he describes himself as the only door. He's talking about the door to the sheepfold there. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So Christ is the door and he is the way. The way's hard. The way's hard. Let's not kid ourselves. You enter the way of life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, but the Christian life involves not only faith, but it involves sacrifice. It involves sanctification. The way is hard because you have to die to sin and die to self and live to God. And it's hard because you're constantly at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's hard because in this life what we have is trials and temptations and troubles all life long. All life long. We saw in J.C. Ryle's book, Holiness, you and I are soldiers and we wear Christian armor and we're to keep that armor on constantly and not take it off until we die. But the reward is beyond comparison. The way's hard, that's true, but those who choose the easy way by seeking their own indulgence, by seeking approval of men rather than approval of God, will find that that way only leads them to destruction, to eternal punishment and separation from God forever. But for those of us who enter by the narrow gate of Christ and who walk in His ways, we've got this marvelous promise that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart, he says. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We enter into the narrow way. We're looking at something that others can't see. We're looking at the things that are unseen. And as we go along that road, we have afflictions, and they're hard, they're difficult, they hurt. But Paul says, don't lose heart. Remember that these things are preparing you for this eternal weight of glory. They're light, they're momentary. There will come a time, as we saw that Ryle mentioned very clearly in his book, that we will look back from heaven upon our lives and say, how could I ever have doubted? How could I ever have feared? How could I ever have struggled with that? Looking back on that now seems so petty, so insignificant. Yes, it's hard. It's a light and momentary affliction. But the things that we look forward to are eternal. Let's pray. Father, we do struggle. We confess this. We recognize this. We struggle with all kinds of problems in our lives. We struggle with sin. We struggle, Heavenly Father, with not receiving the approval of others. Who ridicule us for our Christian faith. We struggle, Heavenly Father, in trying to tell other folks that there is only one path and that it's rutted and hard to follow when they would prefer to take the easy way out. But Father, you've told us through Christ, your Son, our Savior, you've told us that broad way leads only to destruction. It's the narrow way alone that leads to life. So Father, as you set our feet upon that path, enable us to walk in it now, we pray, all the days of our lives. For we look forward to that day of glory when we enter into heaven through Christ and we can look back upon our lives and rejoice that you have brought us to that place by your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen.